This is Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering. It started as a story hour for kids at the Loring Green Isle House in Jamaica Plain, and it ended with neo-Nazis outside echoing increased threats to the LGBTQ plus community. Here's U.S. Attorney for Massachusetts Rachel Rollins on Radio Boston yesterday addressing the rising rhetoric.
When somebody makes clear that we want to burn this to the ground, we want to kill you, that doesn't leave anything to the imagination.
Rollins also noted that she's doing everything in her power to keep people safe. Patty Buray is a drag performer and the director of the Boston chapter of Drag Queen Story Hour. She was reading the book Saturday and then was getting out of drag when she heard the neo-Nazis outside the window. Patty, thank you for joining us here in Studio 2.
Hi, Tiziana. Thank you for having me.
How are you?
People keep asking me that this week. I'm doing just fine. What I worry about is the kids who were leaving the event who had to walk through that, that demonstration from this neo-Nazi group. That was certainly the most traumatizing thing that they experienced that day. But I'm doing fine. I'm not surprised by their presence. We're pretty ready and prepared for these things to happen, especially in the last couple months where Drag Queen Story Hour has become, for some reason, a headline-making, kind of event, which, in my experience, it doesn't really merit that.
So I want to illustrate several things you just said, so bear with me one at a time here.
Sure.
First, I don't want to be voyeuristic about this, but I do want listeners to understand. So you're saying there were about 20 masked neo-Nazi group members there. They had signs and were chanting, and you're saying that the kids coming out of this storybook hour had to walk through that.
Yeah, so we got through the whole event before they got there. However, as kids were leaving, that was the only way out of the Loring Greeno house.
All right, so then you said, it's just a story hour, and I want to illustrate that too. So we pulled a little bit of a sound from a Drag Queen Story Hour in New York. It's somebody reading a book.
This book is called Spoon. You love this book?
I have that book at home.
Awesome.
I don't have it.
So this is written by Amy Krauss Rosenthal. This is Spoon.
So you were chuckling there. Tell me why.
It's just cute. It's cute that the way that the drag queen says Spoon, just drag queens are good performers. So they're a natural reader of a children's book. They keep it really engaging.
And that's the point of Drag Queen Story Hour, right?
Right. The point to me is it's about promoting literacy, creativity, and self-love. That's what Drag Queen Story Hour is about. And the literacy comes through reading, and the drag is what brings that element of self-expression and self-love.
And my experience is with kids that when they are experiencing performance and buoyancy and joy, that captures their imagination. They engage in a different way. And how long have you been doing this?
Well, I've been reading books to kids a lot longer than I've been reading books to kids in drag. So I've worked in elementary schools. I'm a theater educator. But I've been doing the story hours since probably only 2021. So not too long.
Does it make you angry to be accused of trying to negatively influence kids by reading them books?
Yeah, it does. It does make me angry. It's really inflammatory kind of accusations. And one of the things that I hear a lot from people who oppose Drag Queen Story Hours is that I am desperate to get in the room with kids. And I just want to say that I have never once requested to do a Drag Queen Story Hour event. I'm a drag performer full time, so Drag Queen Story Hour is a great way to supplement my income, and I get many, many requests to do this. There's churches, museums, libraries that want drag performers to come and read to kids. So it's really not something that's coming from my desire.
It's a pull, not your push.
Yes, yeah.
So let's go back to Saturday for a minute, because you had no idea. So it started late, not the Drag Queen Story Hour. But
that started late,
although
too.
Although it's also started late, too. That's right. I do remember learning that. But the neo-Nazi demonstration started fairly late on. Mm-hmm. You're reading away. You didn't know what was going on until you were getting out of drag afterward and heard it out the window.
Right. I went to a room to change, and I heard some kind of, yelling on the street. I couldn't hear what they were saying, but my first thought was, oh, like protesters have arrived. It wasn't a surprise that that's why I'm saying that. So because we had rescheduled the event from a week before.
Because there had been threats.
Right.
All right. So you hear this, you think it must be protesters. You finish getting changed. Did you ever come face to face with the neo-Nazis who were demonstrating outside?
Face to face, no. There was a man there who offered to drive me out of the Lauren Greenhouse parking lot, which was incredibly generous. And he sort of dropped me on the other side of the street where my Uber was trying to pick me up. And my Uber driver was like, what's going on here? I'm already out of drag. So
right.
I didn't have to. I think that that's what they were expecting, is to see, you know, like a sort of like Lady Bunny-esque character kind of toddling out of the Lauren Greenhouse. They don't know what drag is. So they're...
Yeah.
They don't even know what they're looking for.
And we're speaking with Patty Buray, who's a drag performer and president of the Boston chapter of Drag Queen Story Hour, about the Drag Queen Story Hour that was demonstrated against by neo-Nazi protesters on Saturday in Jamaica Plain. You remarked earlier to our producer, Sydney, that it heartened you to see counter-protesters there, counter-demonstrators there as well. Tell us about that.
So when I left the event, there weren't any counter-protesters there yet. However, I forgot my ukulele in sort of the kerfuffle of everything and had to come right back after I got home. And by the time I got back, there were, you know, people on both sides of the street. Obviously, the neo-Nazi group was still there. But, there was big numbers of community members in Jamaica Plain who came out to say, like, you don't represent this community and we are not a silent majority that is standing by, you know, tacitly agreeing with you. And I was, yeah, really happy to see that.
I'm going to correct myself for a second. You're the director of the Boston chapter of the Drag Queen Story Hour. I think I said president earlier.
Well, I can be the president too.
So so you actually wind up having to come back to the scene, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And because?
Because I forgot my ukulele.
Which you brought with you.
Are you transitioning right now, Tiziana?
I'm transitioning because I really want people to hear... I want people to hear what was actually going on inside the building when this vitriol and anger, and I think it's not editorial to say that because of some of what was on the signs, et cetera. It was a neo-Nazi demonstration was happening outside. So you brought your ukulele. Play a little for us, Patty, of
sure.
the, 'cause you were singing and reading that day.
Right. So I play ukulele, on an amateur level. And I write songs that are based on some of the books that I'm reading. So this one is based on Miss Rita, A Mystery Reader, which is by Sam Donovan and Kristen Wickstead, who are local authors. And it's about a dad who goes to his kid's school because he is a drag queen who does Story Hour. And this is part of that song. There may be times you wanna stay in bed and just be crabby. Times when you'd rather be alone. 'Cause there are people who don't like your lips and lashes. They need a sparkle of their own. Go ahead and sparkle, seriously. I found that it's the only way. Go ahead and sparkle fearlessly, and I know you'll make it, I know you'll make it through the day.
That is Patty Buray, drag performer and director of the Boston chapter of Drag Queen Story Hour, performing a song from Drag Queen Story Hour on Saturday in Jamaica Plain that was... the event was protested by neo-Nazis, and counter-protesters showed up as well. So I want to stay in the happy ukulele space, but we can't, right? Because there's a big issue going on here. So, Patty, I'm going to ask you to stay with us because I'm going to bring a second voice in here. Jansen Wu is the executive director of GLAAD, GLBTQ Legal Advocates and Defenders, here in the Commonwealth. Jansen, welcome to you as well.
Thank you so much for having me.
So first, you just heard this conversation we had with Patty Buray about the experience this week. And let me just begin by getting your reactions, Jansen.
Especially after that beautiful performance. Thank you, Patty. I'm feeling emotional. I have a 3-year-old child who, you know, we haven't been brought her to a drag, you know, queen story hour yet, but I want to. And so for any parent to, you know, hear and learn about the types of attacks that are happening, that makes you feel scared. I also just want to say to Patty, thank you for the work that you are doing. And, you know, I agree with Patty that, you know, first and foremost, we are concerned about the well-being and safety of the kids. I also want to say that anybody, you know, who doesn't conform with kind of our traditional ideas of what men and women should look and act like, they put themselves in harm's way. There was a recent protest in Alameda, California, a few weekends ago, where one of the protesters wore a t-shirt that had an image of a rifle, and it had the words, kill your local pedophile. Those words create a climate that creates risk for anybody involved in these types of events.
Patty, do you feel like you're taking risks?
Yeah, and thank you, Jansen, for saying that, and thank you for being here, because this past week I've been sort of asked to talk above my pay grade a lot. I'm not one to opine about the rise of white supremacists, you know, like sort of, you know, in our country. So it's really great to hear you talk about this and to hear your perspective. I do think that being in drag is a risk, you know, and I'm a white, you know, sort of cis presenting, you know, performer. So my level of risk is less than many people in my community, particularly queer people of color, trans people. So I'm conscious of that risk and conscious of the way that I'm in a position to sort of be on the vanguard, if you will, of our community, to be out in front of those people.
So, Jansen, you also made reference to what was on that T-shirt, and this is another challenging piece of the conversation now, which is the accusations that are both old and somehow feel new again about the intentions of people in drag reading stories to kids. And I want to be thoughtful about it, and I also want you to educate us by taking it head on.
Thank you. And so, I mean, this is no accident. You know, the rhetoric coming from the very top, creating false accusations against the LGBTQ community for being sexual predators. As you mentioned, this is not anything new. We have, you know, faced these really harmful stereotypes for decades. But it's renewed with a vigor that we haven't seen in recent year. And it's entirely prompted by, you know, the state legislative attacks that we have been defending ourselves against for the last years. This past year, there was over 300 anti-LGBTQ bills introduced. We were able to defeat most of them across the country, but, you know, at least five states have now passed school censorship bans, limiting what teachers can talk about and what kids can talk about in schools. And the proponents of these school censorship bans make the argument that that schools and teachers are grooming, quote unquote, grooming young children to be sexual victims.
You know, I want to hit that more with you, Jansen, and we're speaking here right now with Jansen Wu, Executive Director of GLAAD. Also with us here in the studio is Patty Beret, who is the director of the Boston chapter of Drag Queen Story Hour. I find myself thinking that we're not just anywhere, we're in Massachusetts, where 20 years ago we began an odyssey with the sex abuse crisis in the Catholic Church. And to make those accusations and to make those intimations in this community holds particular threat and particular weight. Do you feel and see it that way? Are we more loaded for bear in Massachusetts on that issue because of our history?
You know, I don't feel particularly, you know, qualified to, you know, opine on that, but I will say that no part of the country is immune or safe from these types of attacks. And for those folks who, you know, and there's many who, you know, are proud of Massachusetts' history around LGBTQ rights. Massachusetts was the first state in the country to allow same-sex marriage. That's all wonderful and true. And, you know, there are communities of white nationalists in Massachusetts. who are even closer geographically to progressive geographic areas like Boston and Jamaica Plain, which actually makes us more vulnerable to these types of protests and attacks. We know during June Pride Month, Pride parades were deliberately targeted by white nationalists. And, you know, where are there going to be more Pride parades? They're going to be in regions like Massachusetts and New England.
Yeah, actually, U.S. Attorney Richard Rollins from Massachusetts yesterday made reference to the arrests that were made in Idaho in June around an intention to disrupt Pride activities there. I want to come back to her because in our conversation yesterday, she also touched on the recent threats that were graffitied outside the Pride PRYDE development, which is a new housing development for LGBTQ seniors that's under construction in Hyde Park. And I asked her, as the chief law enforcement officer for the federal government here in the state, are vulnerable people in the Commonwealth safe? And here's her answer.
We are doing everything to make sure that they are, and they certainly have every right, though, to feel fear.
What do you need from our community, Jansen, in partnership with GLAAD and the desire to for you to be able to bring your three-year-old one day to Patty Bure's Drag Queen Story Hour?
You know, it's such a good question. And I think that when there is this climate, this increasing, heightening climate of hate, it's all the more important for every single person who believes in compassion, who believes in mutual respect and inclusion, to make those values visible and shown. There's this beautiful scene in, from the Laramie Project, which is a movie that details the aftermath of the killing of Matthew Shepard, who many people remember was killed in the 90s in an anti-gay hate attack. And back then it was Fred Phelps's church from Kansas that would go around protesting the funerals, including the funeral of Matthew Shepard. And there's this beautiful scene of what actually happened in real life of the community coming together with these angel wings that they opened up and that blocked, you know, the ability to see those protesters from the people who were inside mourning the loss of Matthew Shepard. And so that's, I think, a really beautiful visual representation of what we all could be doing to protect particularly vulnerable communities and particularly, you know, trans and non-binary communities.
And Patty Bure, did you feel like there were folks there from Jamaica Plain on Saturday who were trying to do that, to provide protection, to provide that sense of safety?
Absolutely. And I think that's, I didn't feel scared really, especially when I came back. It felt like that the community of Jamaica Plain had really taken control of the situation and, like, they were the ones writing the narrative.
So, Jansen, what's the most important next step from your perspective?
Well, I think the most important next step is for every single leader, not just in the Commonwealth, but in our country, to affirm the importance of, you know, including protecting the LGBTQ community in light of the, you know, rising climate of hate that we're seeing. And I just want to, you know, make one additional point here about that climate. This is, again, intentional. It's top down, but it is spreading throughout the white nationalist and white supremacist movement, which had been previously focused on, you know, the election and, you know, critical race theory. But there's a New York Times reporter, Ben Collins, who reports on these communities, the extremist communities. And he recently reported that these white nationalist communities have, quote, moved onto full-time anti-trans panic. It has consumed them. And so I think we're seeing the ways white nationalists and extremist movements are kind of morphing, you know, and evolving their targets. And it's very clear that LGBTQ community is squarely in their sights.
All right. Well, we will continue to watch this. That there was Jansen Wu, who's executive director of GLAAD, which is GLBTQ Legal Advocates and Defenders. And here in studio two, Patty Bure, who is a drag performer and director of the Boston chapter of Drag Queen Story Hour. Thanks to both of you.
Thank you for having me.
And, thank you.
And Patty, how about the song again to play us out as we go into a break?
Oh, don't make me sing, Tisha.
Yes,
don't
Patty, sing.
This is something I'm much more comfortable doing.
Excellent.
So thank you. My dad says sparkle is serious business. Guess that's why he sparkles while the other dads just